Hey everyone! So before we get into the episode, I have a few guest speakers with me tonight. I say speakers, but actually a few guest listeners. They're just going to be listening. And I didn't really want to clog up the podcast with all my news and announcements, so I'm actually going to put this at the beginning so that way you can listen to it and then you can, you know, fast forward, do whatever you want to the podcast. So first things first is I finally got a mic, so if I don't sound like a piece of garbage, that's because I got a mic finally. It looks so awesome and I'm so excited. But seconds, I am actually making a few changes to the podcast. I don't think Tasha's coming back. If she does, then awesome, but I don't see it happening. So it's just going to be me and whoever guest stars. So, I am going to make a few changes. So I'm going to post true crime about twice a month. So every other week, I'm going to do a true crime episode on the podcast. Then the other 2 weeks, I think I'm actually going to stream on Twitch and do some video games and hang out with you guys and get to know you guys and maybe do a Q&A and chat. But yeah, that's kind of going to be like our time to have a little fun, take a step back from true crime and all the bullshit that comes with it. So I thought that would be kind of fun to do with you guys. Also, I strongly urge you to follow our Twitter because that's where our updates are going to be. And that's where you can actually find the time that I'll be going live on Twitch those weekends. And when I will be posting a new episode along with pictures. Come on, guys. We go through this every single week. I have faith in you. I know you can do it. Oh. Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. Also, I have a cold right now, so if I sniffle, I am so sorry. I'm over it, too. I'm about sick of it as well. But I can't wait to hear from you guys. I was so excited to tell you guys about my update. Like, I couldn't wait. So I got a mic. We're doing true crime podcasts twice a month, and then the other 2 weeks we're going to be streaming some spooky games or some awesome games that come out and we want to see it, and I'll stream it. So yeah, that's pretty much all I wanted to say. I just wanted to tell you guys I love you guys so much. Thank you for sticking around and keep an eye out for my stream on Twitter. I'll drop it. I'll let you know. And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. I love you and enjoy this crazy case.
I'm sorry what I did. Don't talk. Just listen. I'm sorry what I did. I couldn't help it. Don't know why I did it. I'm so upset.
Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm your host, Alyssa, and today I have Bree with me again.
Hey, guys. I guess the other guy didn't show up again, and she keeps inviting me back, so I'm just going to keep doing this. Yeah.
Come on. You love me. I also have Kiwi and Kitty listening, so they're hanging out, but you probably won't hear them talk. They might say hello every now and again or chip in. But if there's a random voice that comes in, it's not Jesus. It's Kiwi and Kitty.
So it's pretty close to Jesus, but yeah. Not quite.
Okay. Well, I hope you guys liked my update from earlier in this episode, where I'm probably going to put it before this. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Your girl got a mic. Pretty excited about that. Now I don't sound like a piece of shit. And I don't sound like, he killed her and stabbed her a million times. Yeah. You can actually hear what I'm saying now. But yeah. This one is a doozy. And I'm actually shocked not a lot of people are doing this because, oh wow. It's so, normally we have true crime cases where it's like a horrible ending. The person dies and they get captured and go to jail. And that's it. This one, however, I am happy to tell you guys, has an awesome ending, and nobody dies in it.
That sounds kind of boring, though. I mean,
it's not. Best believe it's not.
Okay.
It is kind of, it's not gruesome as in like gory. It's just gruesome as in I cannot believe someone did this.
Like, also like more of a psychological horror than.
Yes. Yeah. Like I literally almost teared up writing this. And all my sources, as always, will be noted in the show notes at the bottom. But how I found out about this was Morbid Podcast. They did a episode on this, which I got some information from them. But they did a great job covering this, and that's how I found out about this. And I was like, how is nobody talking about this crazy fucking case? So we're gonna talk about it today, since nobody else wants to. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. This Let's is go. The bus kidnapping of Chowchilla. Now, on July 16th, 1976, in Chowchilla, California, Ed Ray was driving a bus of 26 children, all ranging from 5 to 14 years old. So he was the school bus driver. Everyone loved him. He was like an amazing man. He was so like kind spoken, so sweet, soft hearted.
Was he like Clay, our bus driver?
Yes, but he wasn't. Yeah, Rara Chax, everyone. Chax. Yes, yeah. But he wasn't in the alphabet gang, okay? He's not in the alphabet mafia.
Okay.
Okay. So the youngest on this bus was actually a girl named Monica, and she was 5 years old. So kindergarten, maybe preschool.
Yeah, I could see kindergarten. I think I was 5 in kindergarten.
Yeah, Aaliyah started kindergarten when she was 5, so kindergarten. They were on their way home from an awesome day at summer school, which they actually petitioned to have it lengthened by 2 weeks because they loved it so much. So every summer they would go and they would like learn and play games with each other, and they loved it so much that they rallied together, petitioned to get it extended. And it was accepted. I don't know why. My summer school was horrible. You ever been to summer school?
I didn't go to summer school, but I spent like 3 days at Camp Wilson. And
camp was horrible too.
Yeah, I couldn't get to sleep at all. I don't know if you ever stay at a friend's house and then like you just can't sleep the next night.
Yeah.
Or that first night. Yeah, that's how it was all 3 days except until someone swapped me. And then I slept really good on the third day, and then we all decided to have everyone else in my camp decided to have like a playing card match right there. So the next morning we woke up and I was like, they awarded us for being the gamblers or something. And I just had to go along with it because I was fucking asleep.
Wow. Just play it cool. Like, yeah, I totally did that.
Yeah I just had to take credit for it.
That's awesome.
I was like, yeah, great.
My biggest nightmare is spending the night at someone's house and they don't have a fan. Like, I can't sleep without a fan. So if I go to your house and you don't have a fan, I'm like immediately wanting to go home.
Yes, like, I can imagine trying to want to go an additional. Do you know how long they actually stayed?
It doesn't say how long the summer school was actually in session at this point.
But they just plus 2 weeks.
Yeah. Plus 2 weeks. Yeah. Okay. So.
All right.
So while driving, Ed noticed three men on the side of the road with a van, and he decided to stop and ask if they needed help because he figured the van might have broke down, which horrible mistake. Come on. I mean, when I wrote this, I was like, what bus driver stops with a bus full of kids in the first place?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's protocol. I mean, I think three guys on the side of the road are probably less important than 20 plus kids.
Right. We would have got, my mom was a bus driver and she would have gotten in trouble if she stopped on the side of the road. So, but I guess that's just the kind of person Ed was. He wanted to make sure people were okay and that he could help them. He was awesome.
Back in the 70s too, so he was a little naive.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody. And to another point would be the city that it happened in is a very close-knit community, and nobody thought that shit like this was going to happen. I mean, everybody was so close. So, but he decided to stop and was like, hey, you need help. Unfortunately, the three men ended up boarding the bus with a sawed-off shotgun and hijacked it. Now, this is actually really sad. The pantyhose they were wearing over their heads, you know how in the movies they put the pantyhose over the head and like they're dangling off the back so it kind of looks like they have ears?
Yeah.
Okay, so Monica, the 5-year-old, saw the ears and asked them, one of them, if he was the Easter Bunny. Yeah, it's cute because now we can be like, oh, but it doesn't that crush your heart a little bit? Like, come on. But the men ended up hijacking the bus, and it was very quiet. And they drove them down to a dry riverbed in the middle of nowhere before backing the van up to the bus. They had a total of two vans. So one guy drove the van there, and then the other guy drove the other one, so on and so forth. You know how this is going. Now, they were smart about this because they backed up the van to the bus and had the kids jump from the bus into the van so they wouldn't leave footprints behind.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Talk about like a... Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, talk about like thinking about it all, which you're going to find some things that's like, damn, that's really smart. But then it's like some things in this, I'm like, really? Really?
I'm just like appalled because it's a far stretch from a dude with a candy bar in a van. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Hey, how can we get 20, 30 kids, not just one child? Like, I want 20. I want 25 children. How many were on the bus?
There was 26.
Yeah, I want 26 children in one fail swoop. Let's get Ed to pull this bus over.
Yeah, well, they actually separated the children. So half of them went into one van with Ed, and then the other half went into the other van, like, completely... completely away from the other kids. So,
okay.
Yeah. Now, the van was modified with wood paneling to hide any trace of light in the van. There was no windows, no air vents, no toilet, and no food or water. Now, I mention all of that because it was about 100 degrees and they drove around for almost 12 hours with these kids in the back. So obviously they were throwing up, they were peeing on themselves, they were crying. It was probably stinking to high heaven, these poor freaking kids. And this one's a little sad too. The kids tried to tell stories, and they even started singing, "If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands." But instead, they changed it to, "If you're sad and you know it, clap your hands," and they'd go, Yeah, I read that, that's, and it was like, no.
That's just wrong.
Yeah. Oh, it was so sad when I was writing that. I was like, babies. Yeah. All right, so when the van finally stopped, the kids were terrified by this point and dehydrated severely. But to make matters worse, the door opens and they grabbed the closest person to the door to yank them out and closed it. And they did this one by one by one. And a lot of them thought that they were taking them out and just shooting them and just leaving them there. So they were horrified. But what they were really doing was when they grabbed them, they would yank them out, ask them their name, their age, and their address, and write it down on a jack-in-the-box wrapper. And then took a small piece of clothing from each kid and sent them to where they were going. I'm not going to tell you yet, but put them where they wanted them to go. So, but that's the thing, a jack-in-the-box wrapper. Really? You thought this out, and then you came to this, and you're like, oh, shit, I don't have a piece of paper. Like, really?
Yeah, what the hell?
You didn't bring a fucking notebook through this elaborate plan? Okay.
You didn't? You mean you didn't bring the notebook?
Yeah. Frederick, you had one job.
We got the van. We got the fucking... We got the bus driver in handcuffs. You didn't bring a notebook. Like,
ah, shit. Turn around. We're doing it all again. All over. Can you come down the road as if nothing ever happened? Okay, thank you. Okay, so they did that. And then they sent them where they were going to go. I'm not telling you where it went yet, but it's coming up. So a kid named Michael was on the bus, and he was one of the oldest boys that was actually in this van. He was 14 at the time. He, like, as soon as this happened, all of the older kids kind of stepped up and became an adult for these younger kids. Like, it'll be okay, you know, here, hold on to me.
What the fuck was Ed doing, though?
He was doing the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Just assume Ed is like a fucking angel because he's amazing as well. But this boy deserves a goddamn medal because I'm about to tell you about Michael. Michael had these kids like clawing on him, like just he did not want to leave his side. And Michael was like, it's okay, you know, everything's going to be okay. And eventually it was just him and Monica, the 5-year-old in the van. And when they came back, they tried to go for Monica, but Michael ended up kind of shoving her behind him and letting them take him instead. And Michael said that he actually had to pry her hands from his and promise her that it would be all right before they closed the doors and left her alone. So...
Wow, that's pretty rough. But then she was next, though, right? So
yeah, she was next. But it's okay. She, like I said, nobody dies in this. It's just really sad. All right, so Michael found out that they actually took them to a rock quarry. And after getting information from the kids and taking a piece of their clothing, they made them crawl down this 12-foot hole that they dug from a ladder into an abandoned moving trailer and kind of like sit in the trailer. There was mattresses sprawled throughout the area. There was containers of water, 2 ventilation pipes, and a flashlight. There was also cereal, peanut butter, and bread enough for one meal each.
But they forgot the fucking paper.
Yeah, but they forgot the paper. Yeah.
What the fuck?
They even carved small little toilets, like porta potty things, into the holes of the trailer. So they had like a little area to piss and shit in. So. Ugh. Then they told them they would be back for them and slid a manhole cover on the top of the trailer, sealing them in complete darkness. The men proceeded to bury dirt on top of the trailer, covering them up completely. Then, you want to guess what they did? No?
try me.
They went home and took a nap.
That's exactly what I would do in that case. I mean,
yeah, I mean, they work so hard, right? And it's so taxing on them. Such a hard thing to do.
Kidnap 26 kids, better go fucking take a nap.
Yeah, like that was a rough day for me. Like, go fuck yourself, sir.
I'm gonna need a beer after that one.
Yeah, for real. So I guess apparently they tried to go home and call the police to let them know, like, hey, we did this, and, you know, ransom note. But the police lines were so busy from the parents freaking the fuck out, understandably, that they couldn't get through. And they were like, we'll just take a nap.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, the kids in the trailer said that they could actually hear the dirt hit the roof. And a lot of them quoted saying that they thought that this is where they're going to die. This is their coffin. And one girl even was quoted saying she prayed to God that if she ever got out of this, she would be the best little girl for the rest of her life.
Oh,
I know. That one tore me too. You ever get so drunk or something that you start praying?
Yeah.
Like, I swear to God, if you make me stop throwing up, I won't ever drink again.
I do that same thing. I'm hugging the toilet and I'm like, if you just let me stop vomiting,
yeah,
I'll be the best little girl that
yeah, me too. But yeah, she prayed, and I want to hug her so bad. And I have to remind myself again, they do get out, they don't die, it's okay. Now the trailer got quiet, and if a kid started to cry, all the rest of them would cry with it. So, like, you had moments of silence, but it only lasted a couple seconds before a kid would start crying, and then it just ricocheted, and everyone started crying, and then silence, and then everyone started crying again. And they would do that for hours. Hours.
Oh, man, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's like my worst nightmare.
I know. Our kids scream and cry for an hour, and it just drives me insane already. So I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
So they eventually ran out of food, and to make matters worse, the fans in the ventilation pipe that they so nicely installed died. So they were slowly suffocating. Also, a little tidbit, the ceiling on the trailer was now slowly caving in under the weight of the soil. So they would hear they would see and hear the trailer above them creak and cave in as dirt slowly trickled inside.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Now it was only a matter of time until they were all truly buried underground. That's the conclusion they came out with. So Ed and the older kids decided to make a decision. If they were going to die, they would die trying to get out of there. The older kids began to stack mattresses on top of each other, and a girl named Jody held the flashlight for them so they could see. Ed and Michael would take turns trying to lift the manhole cover that they came in and out of, and the kids would actually cheer them on and encourage them to keep going. Like, don't give up, Michael. You can do this. Come on. And one of the kids was like, oh my God, I see it moving. And with one push, it finally slid out of the way. It took them hours, and it finally moved. So when it slid out of the way, they saw that there was a box over the manhole cover. And Ed was like, hey, peek your head up there and see what we're working with, because they didn't know what they were doing. So he did, and it was just a box with a shit ton of dirt thrown on top of it. And once they realized there wasn't any danger, they started to dig their way up with their hands. And then finally they reached sunlight, and everyone started to like cheer and erupt, and they were so excited. And they hoisted each other up one by one into the quarry. Now, this is crazy. They walked around for a bit before finally running into a group of workers who was stunned to see them. And one of the men looked at them and said, "The world's been looking for you."
How long was it at this point then?
They have been in that hole for about 16 hours.
Oh.
Yeah. It's been a while. So.
Well, it's not too terrible though. I mean, 16 hours compared to... I mean, it's still... Like, as a parent, you would be fucking distraught, of course. But yeah. 16 hours isn't nearly as bad as, you know, several days or months or years, you know?
Yeah, but you got to think, like I said, the vent went out, so they were pretty much suffocating.
Yeah.
They had bread and peanut butter to eat and then, like, water for, like, 26 kids. And then they had that, like, porta-potty thing, so it probably smelt like piss and shit and, like, horrible.
Well, yeah, I mean, as soon as the vent went out, that would be grounds to get the fuck out of there. Yeah. But imagine, I guess the vent going out was probably the best thing that could have happened in that scenario. Because it's either fight or flight at that point, right?
I guess, yeah. But, I mean, I think these people would do fight or flight anyway. Because Ed even said that he had no intention of just laying there and dying. His intention was to get them home safely. So I think it was a fight or flight anyway. They were just... you know, trying to think of a way to do it.
Right.
But yeah. They were there for 16 hours and then they crawled their way out. And so they called the police and they finally arrived, which they had to take them to Santa Rita Rehabilitation Center, which is a jail nearby. And this is so sad again, because the kids just went through this horrible experience and now they're being taken to a jail.
Yeah, what the fuck?
And they're just like, why are we going to jail? What did we do? You know? So they had to explain to them, like, no, you're not in trouble. We're just going to wait for your parents. And yeah, poor kids. So they got there, gave them apples and soda. And a doctor came in to examine them to make sure they were okay, which everybody was fine besides, you know, the trauma they'd probably experienced and like heat stroke and stuff. But everybody physically was fine.
Yeah, just a little bit of heat stroke and trauma. No big deal.
Yeah, you know, therapy. They also questioned the kids and Ed. But since the kidnappers had on pantyhose, they couldn't remember what they looked like. A lot of the kids said he looked like the Easter Bunny. So, yeah. Later on, a little side note. I didn't really know where to put this, but it's really cool. They hypnotized Ed and got a license plate number from the vans. So, that was really cool. And wow. When they arrested the guys... the kids actually went to the lineup to choose the men in the line. And they had them say things like, get in the back of the van, or what's your name, and stuff like that. So that was really cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Now, 4 hours later, they had to place the kids back on another bus to go home, which is probably the last thing they want to do. But... the rock quarry was 100 miles for Chowchilla. And if you drive a lot, like I do, 100 miles is roughly about an hour, maybe a little over an hour. So as soon as they got home, the kids immediately ran into their parents And one kid in particular broke my heart because he fell into his mom's arms saying, "Hi, Mama," before passing out on her shoulder from exhaustion. And when I was writing this, Mattis was standing right next to me, and I looked over and I was like, my baby, I would die. Oh, God. I would flip shit. Okay, so yeah, that was heart-wrenching. Now, the police went back to the quarry to dig up the trailer and look for clues. However, they knew the only way they could have access is to talk to a guy named Frederick Woods, whose father just happens to own the quarry.
Wow.
Yeah. Frederick ended up owning the van that they got the license plate on as well. And 2 weeks later, they got a warrant to search his father's estate, which is where he lived. I say estate because it wasn't a state. These people were filthy rich. When they entered the estate, they found a slew of evidence. Like, evidence. It was as if they put a fucking huge-ass sign that said, "Bad guy lair here," out in the front yard. Like, it was huge.
Right, just like a sign, "We make bombs in the front yard." Like,
this is how obvious they were. The first evidence was a list, and on the top of it said "plan," and it explained everything they wanted to do in exact detail.
Was it on the back of a jack?
Jack in the box? Yeah, no.
Yeah, because I know for sure there was. I know for sure there wasn't any paper there.
No. He actually had a paper this time. He remembered, shockingly.
Got the plan.
Yeah, he got it. But he told the plan and even said about if the plan went through, this is what we would do too. So that happens. It also had the names of the two men who helped him, which I'll introduce in a second.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So he's like, "This is what we're going to do. Oh, and my buddy's blah and blah is also helping me. Good looking out, bro." Just here's what we're gonna do. Now evidence.
Two pennies.
Yeah. Two vans, two pantyhose. Richard, you're on your own, man. That's one of the guy's names. Now, anyway, evidence B was the ransom note they found for all the kids asking for $2.5 million. But they scratched out $2.5 million and was like $5 million instead.
I don't understand because they were filthy rich anyway.
Yeah, I'll get to it. I promise there's a stupid fucking point. I just imagine Dr. Evil, $100 billion.
Dr. Evil.
That kind of money doesn't exist. $100 million. I watched that movie too much. Anyway, now the other two men were named James, and I don't care that I get this wrong because I will. James Schoenfeld and his brother Richard. All three of these guys were from rich families, like I said. And Frederick, the main fucker, had a trust fund worth over $100 million waiting for him when he reached a certain age.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Hold on. James and Frederick were even partners at a car business. Now, yeah, nobody gets it, okay? It's fucking stupid. But apparently, they went into debt because of a real estate deal that fell through. And they figured that this was the best idea to get their money back. They chose, huh?
Have you ever seen the movie 30 Minutes or Less?
No. I know about it, but no.
This is literally the plot to 30 Minutes or Less, except...
Are you for real?
Instead of getting someone
bomb and making him rob a bank. They just kidnapped 26 kids and trying to make them give them money. Like,
oh my god!
It's like two, but it was two guys. It was two idiots trying to get money from a dude, and the dude was a trust fund kid, but couldn't have the money until his dad died. That's basically
That's pretty much what it is. Because Frederick had to be a certain age before he got his trust fund. So, yeah.
So I guess we can't have trust fund babies. And hold the money out.
Yeah, no.
Turn them into criminals. Don't do this.
Don't tell them you have a trust fund for them until you're on your deathbed, please. Thank you. Yeah. Goodbye. God. Okay, well, they ended up choosing kids because they said they were very valuable to people and they would actually listen to them when they tell them to do shit. So, that's great. They ended up planning this over a year. So they were planning everything from the detail, even the fucking notebook they forgot, for a whole year. And the security guards at the rock quarry actually came and testified that they saw a couple men digging in the quarry a few months before the incident, but they didn't know why. Now we do. They were digging to put the trailer in.
As a security guard.
I know. Like, wouldn't you walk up like, excuse me, what are you doing?
Take your job? Like, do your job? Like, you're not supposed to be here? what are you doing?
A couple men stalking around digging, but I don't know why. I didn't think to go ask.
Yeah, what do you do as a security guard other than keep people who shouldn't be on the private property off the property?
Well, maybe. Okay, so Frederick's dad owned it. So maybe he saw Frederick and was like, oh, that's the owner's son. I shouldn't really ask him what he's doing because he owns the place. Maybe. Okay. But still. Why? Why? Okay. So they ended up doing that. I also want to put out that they arrested everyone, went to their trials, and all of the kids came back and testified at their trials. All of them.
All 26 of them?
All of them came and testified.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I know. I'm like, yes, get it, children, get it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, a pedophile with a candy bar is one thing to take one, two children, but 26 eyes and ears,
like
26 witnesses plus Ed.
Plus Ed. They did not think this through at all. I mean, that's why they wore the pantyhose, but still, like, you have, the plan. The one that was labeled plan. but then you have to think, how stupid are you? You did it at your father's rock quarry. Yeah, fucking, you used the van that you own. I mean, come on, man. Really? Stupid. Now, I digress. All the kids had... Oh, wait, back up. Okay, so the trial happened. And Richard actually ended up, the youngest brother, he actually ended up turning himself in and admitted that what they did was absolutely horrible, and he apologized. He was sentenced to life with parole and was granted parole in 2012. Now, James, his brother, was sentenced with life in parole and went on parole in 2015. This is funny. Frederick, the main guy, is life in prison with parole, but when he went to go get parole, they denied him. He's able to try for parole again in 2024, but he's not really a great prisoner. And this is probably going to piss a lot of you guys off. He's constantly found with porn in his cell, but also a cell phone. Why does he have a cell phone, you might ask? Well, I'm glad you did. He has businesses in his name outside of prison that he runs. So while he's rotting in jail, he's still making a shit ton of money on these businesses that he's running. So, yeah. Aren't you pissed? Aren't you a little hawked off?
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's bullshit. Now, all the kids went to lead great lives with exceptions. A lot of them were diagnosed with, like, claustrophobia. They were terrified of the dark. Some of them even had night terrors where they would, like, wake up in the middle of the night screaming and running through the house thinking someone's gonna come get them. Therapy. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, lots of therapy at that point.
Yeah. After the incident, though, this is awesome, the kids were gifted a trip to Disney World with Ed. Ed got to go with them, so that's kind of cool. Ed was also given multiple awards for his bravery and returning the kids to safety. He also...
Good job, Ed.
I know. He got like a shit ton, and the governor himself gave it to Ed. So it was like a special reward for him. He even bought the bus that they hijacked from the school and kept it in his yard because he just didn't feel right letting it go to scrap. And he would actually go outside and like start it every now and again. He also donated it to a museum in La Grande for public viewing so people can go and like witness the bus. He also would save small little newspaper articles about the bus incident and, you know, the case, kind of like a highlight and to remember what he went through. So yeah, he was amazing. He was also very modest about this. Like, everyone would call him a hero and he's just like, no, I just returned the kids to their families, and you know, that was just doing my job.
Ed gets the good guy badge.
Ed is amazing. Ed's amazing.
Perfect.
Sadly, though, he died at 91 from liver complications.
But 91, though, that's pretty fair.
Yeah, 91. He didn't get to... He's good.
Yeah, he's good.
That's when you can honestly say you did some shit. But when he passed, little side note, the kids returned to the bus at the museum and they wrote on the bus, leaving notes like, "We love you, Ed," and my personal favorite was, "You will always be my hero."
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's the kidnapping of wherever it was. I forget. I closed it. So yeah, if you guys like that, I hope you did. Not a lot of people talks about it, and that's not really a well-known case, so it's crazy. What'd you think? You like it?
Yeah, that's interesting. It's I guess it's a little refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though it involves children, and it's always, you know, usually a bad thing, but in this case, I guess it was just a little scare.
Yeah,
kind of shook them a bit, and obviously, you know, therapy, and I'm sure the parents were freaked out too, because I guess it could have gotten a lot worse than what it was.
Mm-hmm. How would they feel if like they did die? You know, like the vents went off and everything. How would they feel if they came back for those kids and they were all dead?
Like, oh, imagine. I mean, that would be 26 plus Ed, 27 counts of murder, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Manslaughter.
And I mean, Richard, poor Richard, he was the only one that actually felt bad about doing this and had sympathy for the families and, you know, and so he would probably be in an insane asylum from a breakdown, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's got to weigh on your consciousness.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
Frederick, I hope that he would rot for the rest of his life, but
yeah, I hope every morning when he wakes up, he stubs his toe on the corner of his prison bed. I hope he drops the soap in the shower and a big bald guy named Bubba makes him his wife.
Yeah, I really feel like this is kind of his plan. He's the one that wrote it down.
Pretty much. And,
everyone else, the other two, are just kind of along for the ride.
Yeah. The one of the kids actually came in and talked to, I think it was Richard, about the incident. And, like, Richard apologized and the kid forgave him. And, like, they had to talk about it and got to know each other. So, yeah. Isn't that fucking crazy?
Yeah. That's pretty wild.
I thought it would be a step back from our normal brutal murder and, you know, missing, kidnap stuff. So
next week we're going to do the week after we'll do a brutal murder, right? Or
actually, I was going to tell you, if you're going to be showing up, I will let you pick the case and I will research it and cover it.
Perfect.
Go easy on me.
No.
Come on. Okay. Well, if you like that, guys, follow my Twitter, follow Instagram, but not really because I'm on Twitter more. Also, go check out No Ground on Twitter. Free, you want to tell them a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think you should go follow Wicked Wives and on Instagram as well.
Yep.
And you're gonna be streaming, aren't you? You're gonna start streaming a bit there.
Yeah. So every other week, like I said, it's gonna be a case, like a true crime case, and then the other 2 weeks, I'm gonna be streaming video games. We're gonna do spooky stuff. We're gonna be doing new things that just came out, and then we're just gonna be hanging out. We can do Q&A. We can just hang out. We can talk about your grandma and her cats. I don't care. Just come say hi.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. No Ground is going to be a YouTube channel. If you're interested in gaming, if you have Discord, we have a Discord server. Everyone seems to like it and hang out there. We've got, Twitter, starting a Patreon. We're actually dropping our first video, I think, tomorrow. So
I'm editing it and I want to pull my hair out. I'm the editor for his podcast and mine, so yeah, it's fun.
It's very much appreciated.
Yeah, no problem. But okay, guys, I love you so much. Thank you all for sticking around. Thank you all for listening to the podcast. You're my one and only, and I will see you next time. Check Twitter for my Twitch. I'll post it, I promise. Bye.
Bye.
I'm sorry what I did. Don't talk. Just welcome. I'm sorry what I did. I couldn't help it. Don't know why. I'm so upset. I keep it going.